This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What's on your mind? Dr. Scott Jensen going to join us for the majority of this hour. Take your questions or comments. He, of course, has been a warrior for health freedom, exposing truths that are often buried by many in the media. Not sure why, or maybe we do know why. And now a candidate for governor in Minnesota, so he'll be here. Questions already coming in for him. Others welcome at 800-228-0550. You can text us, too, at 701-237-1590. Hey, we're going back to New York City. A little over a month from now, my wife Marie and I are hosting a trip to New York City. We've done this a number of years, right around Christmas time, because it's a fun place to be. And so we're going to bring some Northern Plains common sense to the good folks in New York City. And we're going there Tuesday, December 7th. Leaving your choice of Bismarck or Fargo. Leaving bright and early so we get a little time to tour New York City, check out Cat's Deli for a wonderful meal on the first day. And then packed up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with all kinds of fun things from 9/11 Memorial Museum, the One World Observatory where you get this 360-degree view in all directions from the top of the One World Trade Center. Incredible. Chinatown, Little Italy, Alive After Five Cruise, so we see the beautiful, iconic skyline of Manhattan. Going to take a stop at Newsmax and see some friends there. We're going to go to Ellis Island, Times Square. We'll go to Carmine's for dinner on Thursday night. You'll love that. And then off to the Imperial Theater for Ain't Too Proud, The Temptations, a little Broadway show you'll love. Great story of The Temptations. Full day Friday, St. Patrick's Cathedral, Top of the Rock. That's actually Rockefeller Plaza. And a great view there, too, of sort of Midtown Manhattan. Tavern on the Green in Central Park. Fifth Avenue. Trump Tower for dinner. Radio City Music Hall. The spectacular Radio City Christmas Spectacular. Actual New York City Christmas story. I mean, we're talking the real Christmas story. The nativity scene live on stage is pretty amazing. It's an iconic event, and it's so great fun. Just fill you with the Christmas spirit. And then Saturday, about a half day there before we head up. Pretty full day. We'll leave out 4 o'clock back for home on Saturday, December 11th. If you'd like to join us, by the way, prices start at $31.99 per person, December 7th through 11th. We have, about a week's left of time to sign up. And it is filling up, so don't waste any more time. If you'd like to go, send me an email, scotth@flagfamily.com, scotth@flagfamily.com. I'll connect you with the folks and get you all the information, the itinerary and all the details. Or you can text us, 701-237-1590. All right, we're going to chat with Dr. Scott Jensen after we finish with Chris Jones. A couple calls for him and some texts that came in. We're going to finish on a discussion of daycare and its connection to the workforce and also the upcoming legislative session. Special session of the legislature, some ideas being tossed around on how we can improve the accessibility to daycare to bring out more of the workforce. Clint in Bismarck for Chris Jones, go.
Well, very, very upset to hear any kind of government intervention with child care. It's just another communist tactic.
Yeah, I guess my response to that, and I do understand where you're coming from. Partially because I'd say that I was there previously. I think you would find me saying things like, well, maybe we should not fund higher education. Maybe we should not fund the last 3 years of high school. You just start to look at the impact that the investment in 0 to 5 has as it relates to behavioral health in schools. And I'd be happy to send that information to Scott, and he can send it on to you.
Well, you said a lot there with behavior health, because your behavior health has been drugging our children. We've got a rash of suicides right now going on with young people in their 20s that are just being torn apart by drugs they've been handled or given, so they act and are handled right in school. We're missing parenting, and we're going down this communist path, and it's gonna ruin us.
Yeah, and again, I don't disagree with you, but the point being is that 73 to 75% of parents in the state of North Dakota are both working. And so we can either say we're going to take, you know, one parent out of the workforce, and you want to see an economy dive, you're going to see it dive really quick. We can't change the trajectory of both parents in the workforce anymore. So our goal is, how do we make sure that these kids have access to early childhood experiences so that we're not paying for those kids and those young adults who are addicted to substances in their 18s and their 20s? Because again, yeah, I mean, my whole goal is to reduce the spend in the Department of Human Services. And so having researched it over the last 4 years, this is the best way to get the DHS budget to go down.
Clint, thanks for the call. Here's another Tom at Jamestown. Go ahead, Tom, for Chris Jones.
Yes, I would suggest a proposal as far as spending the, I think it's $700 million in COVID money. And would the legislature continue or consider taking half of the money and then prioritizing all the different proposals that are out there and then providing funding as, you know, they each test, and then take the other half of the money and give some type of either state income tax relief or property tax relief or both?
Well, I do know, I mean, I'm on the executive branch side, and I'm just an appointed official by the governor. So I don't, I mean, I provide guidance to the governor, and the legislature is going to do the work that they do. But I think you make a lot of sense. One of the things that we looked at was the tax credit for businesses. There's, believe it or not, there's a fair number of businesses, specifically in rural North Dakota, that don't pay state income taxes. So by just doing a tax credit, and, well, I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent, I mean, I'm proud to live in a state that doesn't overtax on the income side. But let's figure out a way to incent these businesses to support families on early childhood experiences and, you know, providing access to childcare. So, you know, our state income tax rate is low, and I think a lot of people are proud of that.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the call. I want to get to a couple others here before we let you go. Could you clarify the answer Scott asked earlier about how much help does daycare get now?
So, you know, it's a nuanced question. There's been a lot of money that went out, about, I want to say almost $50 million that went out during the first COVID run. There's another $70 million that's going out during this next run to stabilize, to build up some inclusion grants, to build up the workforce. But that's one-time funding specifically for childcare. I don't think the state of North Dakota wants to be beholden to the federal government on childcare. We've got to look at what our needs are and make the right investments for North Dakota going forward.
And one last one, Chris, before we let you go. What laws and or regulations need to be eliminated in order to allow for more private daycares?
Well, to be honest, the vast majority of childcare in North Dakota is private. There's virtually no public. I'm not aware of one public unless we're talking about preschool within a school district. So everything currently today is private. You've got for-profit private, and you've got not-for-profit private. But we've actually started talking about, you know, many people who enter the childcare industry do it as a labor of love, and they don't know how to run a business. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but they don't. So how do we provide some peer-to-peer business support so people can start childcare? Because I'm not against changing regulation, but we're probably one of the most unregulated of all the services within the Department of Human Services. And again, I still look at a 4 or 5 month old child as being someone who is extremely vulnerable, that I'm not willing to have less support or safety protocols around than other adults in our state.
Good conversation. And certainly, as I mentioned earlier, very integrated into the whole issue of workforce. Chris, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Texas says the moment we start calling services infrastructure, we're headed down a dangerous path, combined with the government being in charge of or having a hand in child care. I think this was a very dangerous situation. In the words of Ben Shapiro, everything the government touches turns to garbage. Getting kids ready to learn, as your guest said, is vague and a very weak argument to support an idea that literally diminishes a parent's responsibility and influence. On the surface, it may sound like it supports the ND workforce, but with parents out of the home, kids will end up lacking more than they gain. I think it's a slippery slope. I think that's a parental decision, though, right? You know, again, that train is largely off the station. Doesn't mean it isn't admirable for a parent to say, you know what, I'm going to forego an extra right. income or whatever. Yeah. That's really a personal decision. I think when we start saying, let's not support those that then do that, is to suggest we're going to be tolerating the fact that there's less people in the workforce available. So just throw those 2 cents in as we wrap up. Appreciate Chris Jones there. Welcome to the conversation. We'll continue to have it. When we come back, the rest of the hour for Dr. Scott Jensen and a talk radio town hall. He's a candidate for governor of Minnesota. He's been a warrior for health freedom. We're brought to you today by our friends at DakDiesel.com. DakDiesel.com. Need that deck? When's the last time you had that diesel vehicle service? Right? Need repair or maintenance? Dak Diesel is the place. 258-5011. Call them.
When joint pain controls the way you move, it holds you back. The Sanford Orthopedics and Sports Medicine team can help with therapy and treatment options that focus on finding your way forward without pain. If you're ready to manage your symptoms or plan for a future total joint replacement, we're committed to providing you care in a healthy and safe environment. Call 701-323-8920 to schedule a same-day appointment with the Sanford Orthopedics and Sports Medicine team in Bismarck. Right here, right now, is where life happens. Where you do you. The dreams that grip you for a life that moves you. At First International Bank and Trust, we're passionate about putting you and your family's needs first so you can focus on what matters most. What are you living for? First International Bank and Trust. Live first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Unleaded 88 retailers across the state are participating in the third annual Pink at the Pump promotion to raise funds for breast cancer awareness. Participating retailers include PetroServe USA locations in Bismarck, Castleton, Fargo, Mandan, Valley City, and West Fargo. Cashwise locations in Bismarck, Fargo, Watford City, West Fargo, and Williston, and Tesoro and Widmere. 3 cents per gallon of unleaded 88 sold in October will go to North Dakota Women's Way. Choose the unleaded 88 nozzle in October to support breast cancer awareness.
Gateway Building Systems is proud to be a new AGI Ben dealer, the global leader in steel manufacturing, designed with exceptional flexibility and quality in mind. Storing your grain and non-corrosive materials has never been easier. With AGI Bens, your options are endless. You'll find everything you need to keep your farm running and successful. For more information, go online to gatewaybuilding.com or call 1-800-747-4499.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're actually actively working to recruit out-of-state law enforcement because we do have needs in our police and our sheriff's departments. So in the next legislative session, I'm going to hopefully sign legislation that gives a $5,000 bonus to any out-of-state law enforcement that relocates in Florida. So NYPD, Minneapolis, Seattle, if you're not being treated well, we'll treat you better here. You can fill important needs for us, and we'll compensate you as a result.
Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, one of those that's seen opportunity in the rash of vax mandates that have swept the nation, in law enforcement, first responders, health care. Dr. Scott Jensen is here to talk about that and more today. If you have a question or comment for him, call us, 258-0550, 271-1100, or you can text me, 701-237-1590. Welcome to Dr. Jensen.
Thanks, Scott, for having me. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you in person today in your quest for the Minnesota governorship, crisscrossing the state of Minnesota, and obviously have been on the forefront back to your time in the state Senate on the health warrior, health freedom warrior, health freedom front as a warrior. We appreciate everything you've done to stand up for people on health freedom. Seems so basic, seems so American, seems like it adheres to the Constitution, but it's a battle right now, isn't it?
It is, and it is very American. I mean, it goes back to Benjamin Rush in the 1770s. He said we needed to have a health freedom amendment then, or there'd come a day where we would rue that. We didn't. And then I think we jump forward to Eisenhower in 1961 when he's saying farewell to the nation after serving two terms as president. And he says something like, there may come a day where our public policy is held captive to a technological elite and a scientific elite. And we're seeing it happen right in front of us. Health freedom is being taken away from us.
And, you know, you've been labeled all kinds of things for being a warrior of health freedom. One is an anti-vaxxer. Are you an anti-vaxxer?
In a word, that's ridiculous. I mean, I spend over $100,000 a year buying vaccines for my patients. Last couple of weeks, we received 1,000 influenza doses that we'll be giving to our patients. And we actually have an outreach program. We go out and provide vaccines for influenza to employees of different clinics. So that's just silliness. But I think people are in a hurry to label because that's how they feel better. They feel like if they can push you off into something that they have no idea what they're doing, that they can feel better. But no, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I do think that it's important to realize that not all diseases are equal and not all vaccines are equal. Polio is a game changer, to be sure. COVID-19 vaccine is a game changer for certain groups of the population. If you look at people over the age of 70 that have underlying medical conditions, if they take a vaccine, they dramatically reduce their risk of hospitalization or death. If they get COVID and you're over 75 with underlying conditions, you've got a 1 out of 20 chance of dying. That's a pretty high chance.
What do you think this, I think the most dangerous people out there are the people that are shaming people into the vaccine, that are mandating the vaccine, because the amount of people that now will think differently about future vaccines. What damage do you think is being done to the vaccine as an effective tool?
That's an excellent point, Scott, because I've seen that happen recurrently in my office, where I've had moms and dads come in and I'll say, okay, well, these are the vaccines that are due today. And they say, you know what, we're going to hold off. We've always done them on time. We've always just gone along with the prescribed schedule. But, you know, we're so concerned about with all the discussion regarding the COVID vaccine, and we just don't have the trust we used to have. So we've made a decision in our household. We're not going to do any vaccines for a while. I think that's the consequence of fracturing the public trust. I think when Tony Fauci tells us that herd immunity is 60%, and then he goes 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, and starts to mimic an auctioneer, he's doing far more than just changing his mind. And then when he was confronted about it, he said, well, I didn't think the people could handle the truth. Well, we don't think you're telling the truth.
There you go.
Yeah. Highest paid federal employee and labeled a gold standard authority. We have how many questions out there about Tony Fauci? It's amazing the time in which we live right now, isn't it?
Scott, you know, I think I'm not certain that the biggest danger is them trying to, if you will, spew their narrative to us. I think the biggest danger right now that America faces is the danger of silence. You know, we cannot afford to have Americans to be bullied into silence. And I think there's a rally today in Fergus Falls regarding Dr. Jeff Horrock. And it has to do with silence. We can talk about the First Amendment, and that's the underpinning of why we don't have to be silent. But there is such an effort to silence voices, to silence narratives. And Americans are waking up saying, no, I can't stand on the sidelines and let this happen. I got to get on the field and do some blocking and tackling because this is going to kill our country.
You mentioned the doctor in Fergus Falls, 16-year employee of the healthcare facility there, who was fired or asked to resign. I forget what he did. because he went to a school board meeting and took a stand on the masks and the mask requirement in the schools. That's chilling.
Exactly. Last Thursday, I was in the office seeing patients, and I've never heard of Dr. Jeff Horrick nor met him. And I was getting a couple phone calls and some text messages, and boom, 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 boom. And finally, a text came back and said, I really need your advice. And so I called the number, and it was Jeff. And we talked. And this is not some footloose goofball doctor. This is a guy who takes out appendices at 2 in the morning. He takes out gallbladders. He repairs bleeding ulcers, and he serves his community. He's always been a highly regarded surgeon in the field of medicine and a professional in good standing. And here he is, literally being fired. This isn't because of healthcare services he did or did not provide. This is absolutely silencing him and trying to, through him, silence so many other voices.
We have texts that have come in already for you. We'll get to those here and welcome others. 237-1590 to text us, 701-237-1590. To text us or give you a question or comment for Dr. Jensen is welcome. Call us at 701-258-0550 or 701-237-1100. Quiet listener asks, should citizens come together to prepare a class action lawsuit against hospitals for having a mask mandate? Since studies have shown the high levels of CO2 and bacterial infections in those forced to mask.
I think citizens have to come together on a variety of fronts. With masks, if you've got cotton and surgical masks that arguably have a 5-micron pore or opening, and you're talking about trying to filter out a 0.1-micron COVID particle, that's a difference of 50 times. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that you're not going to be able to stop it. Arguably, 50-to-1 difference is the same difference between a gnat and a 2-inch chain link fence opening. So when we look at it that way, you know, we can certainly concede the point that the lattice work of a mask will indeed impede the transmission of some viral particles. There have been some studies that indicate that you might get 11% filtration efficiency ratio. But I think we have to also acknowledge that if we tell someone, wear a mask and you won't get COVID-19, we're lying, and we have to acknowledge that. Edmund Burke said something like this: the only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. And I think Americans across the board are saying, I cannot do nothing. I have to do something. So I think the 750 electricians that walked off a job, the pilots, healthcare workers, so many other people, they're saying no. They're walking off, and then supply chains are going to get far worse, and this is because of government policies.
We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Scott Jensen, candidate for governor of Minnesota, by the way, health freedom warrior, after a short timeout on What's on Your Mind. Two segments to go, so lots of time with him. Get your questions in. We'll continue right ahead.
It's time to visit your Northern Region New Holland dealer to see the latest over 100 horsepower tractors from New Holland. They use leading-edge EcoBlue high ESCR engine technology for increased power, torque, and fuel efficiency, as well as Tier 4 V emissions compliance. That's New Holland Smart. Choose from T7, Genesis T8, and T9 series tractors up to 620 rated horsepower. Explore the power of blue today at your local Northern Region New Holland dealer.
Hi, this is Kevin Pfeiffer with Pfeiffer's Auction Company. Pfeiffer's upcoming auctions include 118 acres of exceptional cropland in Grand Forks County, North Dakota, 80 acres of excellent cropland in Trail County, and 620 acres of excellent crop and hunting land in Ramsey County. And don't forget the Dennis Johnson Equipment Estate Auction on October 27th in Kenmare, North Dakota, featuring John Deere tractors, Freightliner Semi, and the McDonald 1170 Swather, and hundreds of more items. You can view all of these auctions and many more auctions at Pfeiffer's.com or call Pfeiffer's 877-700-4099.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Inflation is a measure of the rate of rising prices of goods and services in an economy. Inflation can occur when prices rise due to increase in production costs, such as raw materials and wages. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on CNN Sunday says inflation is here to stay through 2022.
Americans haven't seen inflation like we've experienced. On a 12-month basis, the inflation rate will remain high into next year because of what's already happened. The COVID shock to the economy has caused disruptions that we'll be working through over the next year.
Since this time last year, gas is costing us 43% more. Inflation over the years, $1 in 1940, is equivalent to the purchasing power of about $19.59 today. USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Back at What's On Your Mind, brought to you by PetroServe USA. Today, what's for lunch? Beef tips and gravy in Valley City. Scalloped potatoes and ham as well. A couple of choices there off eggs at 292, I-94. Sausage potato in Harwood. Chipped beef over mashed potatoes. How's that sound? Chipped beef over mashed potatoes.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yes,
I knew you'd love that. West Main Avenue in West Fargo is the spot today. NP Avenue, downtown Swedish Meatballs, or Salisbury Steak in Glendon, scallop potatoes in Yulin. PetroServe USA. Home cook and grab-and-go convenience. Tell them Scott sent you. More with Dr. Scott Jensen, a former senator in the state legislature in Minnesota, now a candidate for governor. And I think I first learned of your work, Dr. Jensen, when you were questioning the fact that when people were asked how to code COVID deaths, there became a suspicious activity in the state of Minnesota, and that's when you came on the radar for a lot of folks. Talk about that.
For 35 years, I've always had an interest in how we classify or code diagnoses, and then also code the services that physicians perform. I've given lectures and San Diego different events, and I've taught residents and med students how to code. So it's always been a bit of an interest of mine. So it was in early April where I got an email from the Department of Health, and at the bottom of the email, they linked to the CDC, and they said, with COVID upon us now, we're going to be making some changes. And it said basically, if you believe that COVID-19 is a contributing condition, don't put it in the contributing condition box. Put it as the cause of death. But if something else is a contributing condition like asthma or emphysema, go ahead and put it where you routinely have been doing it. That raised a huge red flag for me. I think that unwittingly, I was uniquely positioned to speak to that issue. I'm going to guess that of the thousands and thousands of doctors that got that same email that day, that a good share of them just deleted it and never saw it. I happened to read it because it said somewhere in there something about vital statistics, and that usually has to do with death certificates. And as a 35-year veteran in medicine, I do occasional death certificates. And again, I've taught residents and med students how to do them. So I stay up on that. So that was the day that really my life changed, and I could never have seen it coming. But I raised my hand and said, this is wrong. I ended up being on some TV programs. Fox News and Laura Ingraham asked me to be on, asked me to explain things. Then she asked me why this might be. And I said, well, sometimes you have to follow the money. And I'd already done some checking there. And in regards to how you code a discharge summary on a patient leaving a hospital, that also had been, if you will, adjusted with COVID so that hospitals would receive more in terms of Medicare reimbursements for their patients with COVID. It all started tumbling into this arena where I was on the hot seat, and then we saw the PCR testing, and we saw the number of false positives emerging. We saw the cycle threshold at 40, 45. Slowly, we started to see places like Mayo Clinic say, that's excessive. We need to cut that cycle threshold down, because even Tony Fauci said, if you're running it that high, all you're doing is picking up dead nucleotides. And really, what we were seeing was a carnival of errors. We were seeing death certificates being massaged. We were seeing hospitals incentivized to use COVID-19 as a discharge diagnosis. And we were seeing PCR tests with a high rate of false positivity. And those were the things that really ramped up the fear, and also were the very things that public health departments were using to justify some of their draconian policy decisions.
When you were first on with us, Dr. Jensen, it stuck with me for almost 2 years now, and you equated a death certificate to a sacred document. And I've told the story of that conversation I don't know how many times. But that is a sacred document. You just don't put in whatever and wherever. It just made 1,000% sense to me back then, and still does.
Arguably, it's the last service we get to provide for that patient.
Right.
It's our obligation and our honor to follow what the CDC has been saying for 20 years. We're to identify the initiating event in that sequence of events that led to a patient's demise, and we take it seriously. So if a patient has colon cancer and the colon cancer metastasizes, and at some point the patient becomes a hospice patient and has the chance to say their goodbyes, and in their last 48 hours of life happens to be exposed to someone with COVID-19 and has no symptoms of COVID-19, it's ridiculous to think that we would put COVID-19 as the underlying cause of death. That cause of death is a colon cancer patient, and at some level, we should all be insulted. I remember raising my hand and even reaching out to the Department of Health, thinking that someone would say, hey, doc, thanks for pointing that out. That's a good point. We'll fix it. That's not what happened. All of a sudden, my license was under investigation, and it wasn't once, twice, three times, but four times. And people say, you're reckless. You're providing misinformation. Tell me once, what was the misinformation that you object to? Because I'd like to have the chance to respond to it.
Texter wants to know what your explanation is as to why people who receive the vaccine have a higher viral load than others, turning the vaccinated into asymptomatic super spreaders.
I think the science has to oftentimes be given a chance, Scott, to breathe. In terms of actual data on who has the higher viral load in the nasopharynx or in the back of the throat, I don't think that's a settled issue. There's been some studies out there, and they bantered about. I think the more important thing to realize is that if you've been vaccinated or if you haven't, in either situation, you can contract the disease, you can carry viral load in your nasopharynx, you can spread the disease is spread by aerosolization, which are small particles. Those are the things that we know, but I think in terms of quantifying viral load, I don't think we really know that. I think as soon as we know that, we also have to intersect that with neutralizing antibodies and what level of antibodies does an individual have. If they recovered from the virus naturally, it appears that they have a much more robust menu of antibodies with which to fight COVID-19. While if they receive their antibodies from a vaccine, generally they're going to have antibodies only to the spike protein. And then if that spike protein mutates, we have to ask ourselves the question, are those people at greater risk than they were led to believe at the beginning of this vaccine push?
Another texter, what I want to know is your thoughts on locking down nursing home patients who are vaccinated and negative from COVID-19.
This will be a legacy memory from this COVID pandemic like no other. What we did to my elderly patients when we said that they had to spend their last weeks, months, or year alone, literally not being able to hold hand, not necessarily even being able to attend to the basic dignity of having a urine and feces removed from being in contact with your body. This is horrific. We look back at World War II. We look at the civil rights movement. We look at Vietnam. We look at some of the things we did as a society, things that we somehow tacitly approved. We did that here. And we can talk about lockdowns, we can talk about locking kids out, but when we locked nursing home patients into a facility, and said, you're going to die alone. I think we have to carry that, and we have to let that touch us deeply, because this was something that did not need to happen.
It's still happening.
It is.
What do you suggest people do about that?
I think we have to fight. I think we have to keep speaking up. We have to keep going after our elected officials. We have to say the danger is, in many levels, the danger is not the COVID-19. The danger is some of our politicians and our bureaucrats who hunger and thirst for power and control and make these ridiculous decisions, and they tell us untruths, or they massage the truth. They manipulate the messaging, and they treat us like eighth graders, and we're up to the task. We can understand what's going on, but we have got to stop the falsehoods.
Texter says, North Dakota is still including those who have died with the Wuhan virus, along with those who have died from it in their official counts. I assume Minnesota is as well. This inflates the number artificially. How can we change that deceptive practice?
Obviously, we're not being given the opportunity to make the determinations as to how these things are counted, but it's horrific. We're seeing situations where you can die within a certain number of days after receiving the vaccine, and it's being called a COVID death, not a vaccination death. I mean, it's all over the map in terms of how various places are doing it. I read an article the other day, and they said there are hundreds of agencies that weigh in on how we identify or code COVID deaths, from very small local governmental units all the way up to the CDC and the World Health Organization. And it really is a mishmash of what we're doing. There's no consistency, and that's why I've been so powerfully advocating, Scott, for an audit, because I think we can get some graduate students to do a solid job in a relatively short order. We should be able to audit these deaths, these diagnoses. Why is it that the CARES dollars that were intended to mitigate the COVID pandemic, why is it that the hospitals that did the best from those dollars were the academic centers, but the ones that did the worst were the critical access hospitals? It probably has to do with who had the wherewithal in an organization to aggressively learn the rules, go after, pursue those dollars, and then claim them, while you have a smaller critical access hospital who's focusing on taking care of patients and trying to keep their doors open, and we start to see what happens. This is what's happening from our policy decision.
Ryan in South Dakota, question on healthcare workers for Dr. Jensen. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Scott. I actually wanted to relate a story that I had heard from a friend of mine who is a traveling nurse. But an assignment that she recently had at a nursing home, the nursing home was so understaffed that she couldn't complete her 8-week contract. She felt like by staying, she would have been putting her her own nursing license at risk from the poor quality of care that she was witnessing. And that just seems to be kind of a snowball effect, a self-sustaining problem. I think that by threatening to fire nursing staff who won't get vaccines, these health networks are just begging for a disaster.
You are spot on correct. That's exactly what's happening. So you point out two different ways that the supply chain of healthcare workers is being fractured. One is firing them, but two is allowing a culture to evolve in an organization or a facility like a nursing home, whereby the folks, the workers that have been willing to stay and fight the fight are saying, I'm going to have to leave because the quality of care is dropping off so much that if I don't, at some point in time, I'm putting my license in harm's way. So you go at it from a dual angle, and that's a very good insight.
Ryan, thanks for the call. A few more texts waiting to get in here. We'll get those as well, and other calls, questions, and comments. Welcome. 258-0550, 258-0550. More after this with Dr. Scott Jensen and a Talk Radio Town Hall on our Monday. Don't go away.
Hi, Gus here from Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North. Due to the lack of the moisture in the soil, we've been experiencing more calls regarding foundation movement. Lack of moisture causes soil to contract and pull away from your foundation. If you notice dirt pulling away from your home, you'll need to make sure that you don't have bigger issues. Cracks in your sheetrock or outside walls, sloped floors, sticking doors and windows. Contact us today at 701-280-7038. Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North, your complete foundation experts.
For years, Peklet Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City has been there for you, and we're here for you now. Our top priority continues to be to keep our community safe and healthy. That's why we are taking extra measures in cleaning our facility to minimize any health risks. Convenient pickup and delivery to your home or office for sales and service is still available. Together, we will get through this and be stronger for it. Thank you from everyone at Peklet Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City.
They say when the going gets tough, the tough get going. At OK Tire, we're here to keep you going. From Firestone tires and replacements to retreads and even Firestone tracks, we have you covered. Our certified Firestone experts are ready to get you back up and running, no matter if you're on site or in the field, saving you time and money. OK Tire, we keep the tough going.
PetroServe USA, great specials all month long. Pizza Corner Pizzas, two for $10. What a deal. Any size fountain pop, 49 cents all month is back. Two Red Bulls, the 16 ounces for $4. Pearson's Salted Nut Rolls, two for $1. The Giant Sunflower Seeds, $1.39. Assorted T-shirts, only $9.99. And Firewood, $4.99. Time to stock up. PetroServe USA, home cooking, grab and go convenience, the 4 for $4 special and more. PetroServe USA.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Schwann Buick GMC.com. Don't forget the Veterans Appreciation Meal is coming up just around the corner, November 11th. Get those tickets. Meanwhile, fall is here, and that means get ready for winter. Schwann has a great selection of local trades, especially trucks and SUVs. We'll give you top dollar for yours. And by the way, the finance rates are some of the lowest available, so now is a fantastic time. Shop, click, drive at Schwann Buick GMC.com.
Archie and Reader, question for Dr. Jensen. Go ahead, Archie.
Yes, sir. I'd like to know what your thoughts are about the adverse atmosphere surrounding the use of ivermectin to combat COVID-19. Thank you.
I would say this. If we took this same ridiculous approach that we are today, in 1976 with the Legionnaires' pneumonia outbreak after the Philadelphia Convention, when people were dying because they weren't responding. Their pneumonia wasn't responding to our typical antibiotic approach or protocol. We would not have solved that problem then. What we did in 1976 was doctors kept talking with patients. Together, they worked out a plan, and we went back to an old-fashioned antibiotic called erythromycin, and voila, we started to beat this thing back, and people stopped dying from Legionnaires' pneumonia. For some reason or another, we've had policymakers, bureaucrats, epidemiologists who do not take care of patients in the trenches, and they've decided to tell patients and doctors alike that we don't get to have the conversations as to how we might want to approach this virus. Typically, viruses don't respond as cleanly as maybe a strep would respond to penicillin. Oftentimes, we have to do multiple things. Optimize our immune system, vitamin C, D, zinc, quercetin, something like that. And hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, these things have potential help. And the fact of the matter is, they're relatively safe drugs, especially when you look at the drugs that we use every day. We have very dangerous drugs that we use, and patients aren't necessarily aware of that. This has been a travesty that we have had people interfering with the patient-doctor relationship. This is a new, horrible day.
Hershey, thank you. Henry Fargo for Dr. Jensen. Go ahead, Henry.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I love everything I hear to finally hear some truth. How do you square, like, the city of Fargo's mayor with mask mandates and all these talking heads that you just mentioned on TV with just ethical things that they... you know, swore to do as doctors? How do you square that they can actually do this and still keep their job legally?
I think it has a lot to do with fear. The first thing you have to do with fear is you have to frighten people, then you have to exaggerate things, then you have to accuse someone, and then you got to repeat the whole cycle. And that's what's happening. If you look at the 17 years of data we had from SARS-CoV-1 in 2002 to 2019, we weren't sitting on our hands not studying how we could do better. We were looking at masks, and the consensus in the scientific community was clear. Masks weren't going to stop it. That's why Fauci and Osterholm came out in 2020 in February, March, April, and May, said no mask doesn't help. All of a sudden, they got religion, and now masks are the holy grail. At some point in time, we have to recognize that there's a lot of decision makers basing their decisions on fear and trying to protect themselves. And we've thrown out 17 years of data. We look at the physics of a mask and a virus particle, and we don't try to square that up. So I don't think there's any squaring up to be done. It's just not going to happen, not this time around. We botched it, and we're going to botch it all the way to the end.
Texter wants to know how you plan to win the Twin Cities to become governor of Minnesota, the metro battle, the very blue part of Minnesota.
Duluth and Mankato and Rochester, too.
I'm not going to win the Twin Cities, and I don't need to. I need to have greater Minnesota and conservatives come together and do a groundswell movement. But I'll tell you what we are going to do in Minneapolis-St. Paul. We're going to lose by a lot less. We're going to go to those communities. We're going to go to the multicultural communities. We're going to go to the black communities. We're doing it already. We're going to go and we're going to remind them that the same core values that I elevate in virtually every place I go, faith, family, freedom, limited government, protect life from beginning to end, those are the same views those folks hold. They need to come with us. We're going to invite Gen Zs and millennials to join us. We're going to honor engaged women and say, what do you want us to talk about? Because we haven't been doing that well enough. And we're going to go to farmers and labor and say, you belong with us, not with the Democrats that side with Bernie Sanders.
What do you see as Tim Walz's greatest weakness?
He surrounded himself by a group of people that engaged in groupthink and echo chamber mentality. You cannot do that. As a politician elected, you get people genuflecting in front of you saying, oh, can I have 5 minutes of your time? Like you're some kind of a big deal. You're no smarter than you were the day before the election, after the election. But you somehow seem to labor under the notion that your IQ went up about 20 points when it probably dropped. The fact of the matter is, when you get elected, you have got to find a way to surround yourself with people that will say, no, that's not what's going to happen. You're making a bad decision. There'll be unintended consequences that you couldn't see. You're creating a moral hazard, whatever, whatever, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, Governor Walz hasn't had people pushing back against him, and he should have, because some of his decisions were faulty. Some of his decisions were born out of his best efforts. Everybody knew that this was uncharted territory. It was a hard job for him. But when he kept copying Cuomo and Newsom, and we kept repeating the same mistakes, and then on top of that, he trumped it all by buying a $7 million morgue that never saw a cadaver and never justified that decision. Those are the things that Minnesotans are saying, really?
Texter wants to know how folks can help you in Minnesota become governor.
I think we need to come together and say, who is Minnesota? We've always had one clear resource over so many states, and it isn't our lakes, though they are an obvious resource. It isn't our minerals, though it's an obvious resource. It isn't our fields and our farms, though those are obvious resources. It is our people. Somehow we have got to lean back into people and say, we're not going to take a one-size-fits-all. We're going to lean into you. We're going to trust you to make good decisions. You need to come on board and be a part of this groundswell movement. If we disagree 10% of the time, let's live with that. But let's look at the big issues: public safety, school choice, secure elections, elevating our Second Amendment rights. If we do those things, we can win and turn Minnesota red.
Dr. Scott Jensen, thanks for the time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Scott. It's great to be with you.
North Dakotans know a thing or two about energy and the environment. Our electricity rates are some of the lowest in the nation, and we are among only 17 states that meet all federal air quality standards. Coal has always been a big part of our energy success story. As the most resilient source of power, it keeps our electricity affordable and reliable, provides high-quality jobs, and boosts our economy. The coal industry in North Dakota accounts for more than 13,000 good-paying jobs and $5.4 billion in economic impact. Lignite also plays a pivotal role along with oil and gas revenue, providing nearly $1,600 per student to districts across the state. We know that to continue our regional prosperity, we need an all-of-the-above energy strategy that includes coal to make sure our homes and businesses have the electricity they need when they need it. Learn more at www.lignite.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.